What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here. And on the other line of this conversation, I have rock slide rider Josh Boyd. And today we're going to talk about floorless versus floored and some of the floorless shelters that he's used and some of that I used. And I think it's going to be a super good podcast. We get this question a ton on the forum. So thanks for hopping on, Josh.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on, Jordan. It's going to be a fun conversation, I have a feeling. Yeah. And like you said, the forums are full of questions and ideas and thoughts and myths, like I guess I would say, on tarps and floorless shelters.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be a good topic.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is, like, you know, we'll put out that we use a floorless shelter, and then some of the feedback that I get back anyways is like, well, I live in Arizona and we have snakes and scorpions and whatever else, and I wouldn't, you know, I don't use a floorless shelter for that reason. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't either in that situation. So I think it definitely depends on where you're going and what time of year and some things like that. Which shelters have you used?
Yeah, so I love floorless shelters. And I've used a ton of different ones. I did a shootout a few years ago on pyramid style floorless shelters, where I looked at a Kafaru Tut, a Black Diamond, Megalite, Seek Outside Cimarron, and a Mountain Laurel Designs Ultra Mid, I think is what it was. They're all kind of similar in size and shape, but they're all floorless, all pyramids. So I've run all of those over, you know, multiple seasons. And I've also run a bunch of tarps as well. And I'm kind of in a tarp fad, I guess, right now, since it's still summer, going into like an early bow season. And it's a great time of year to use tarps for the most part. You know, there are there are times of the year when you don't really want to use a tarp, but right now, early season is a great time, when the weather's halfway decent and you can deal with some of the elements a little more easily. It's not so cold out.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you pitching your tarp to the floor, or are you pitching your tarp all the way to the ground?
Yeah, it kind of depends. Depends on what the weather forecast is and kind of what the current conditions are. If it's going to be really wet and a storm's going to blow in, I will try to pitch it fairly close. Otherwise, you know, one of the benefits of using a tarp is just being able to pitch it high, have a little more headroom, and have some breathability. You know, you get that airflow through there, you have a little less condensation, and things just stay a little more dry, so to speak, inside of your shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, back to your comment on, you know, snakes and bugs and mice and whatnot. You know, I guess it kind of depends on what part of the country you live in. If I lived in big snake country, I don't know, I'd be a little more apt to have a floor in my shelter. Biting insects as well, I would steer clear of using a floorless shelter if there was like stinging, nasty scorpions or poisonous spiders around. But just regular flies and mosquitoes and mice, they don't really bother me a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of all up to your personal, you know, your personal preference and what you're, you know, what you are willing to put up with, your limits.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's the worst rap, or the bad rap that floorless gets, is you think that there's just going to be mice running all over you, but really there's not. I personally haven't had any trouble with mice in mine.
Yeah, I had one year I had some mice issues. It was early September. It was really hot and dry and smoky. We had a lot of fires going on. It was just a weird year. It just seemed like everything was dried out, which is uncommon for, you know, my part of the world where I live here in Northwest Montana. We're usually fairly wet, but for some reason the rodent activity was really high. And I had a friend staying in we were in that Cimarron, and he woke up and he he had mice running all over him. I slept through him, but he was certainly worried about all the mice bouncing over his head all night long. But I don't have a whole lot of issues with it. One of the other things that I hear about, I don't know, you probably hear this all the time, but I get asked the question, like, how do you keep the rain out, you know, from running underneath your floorless shelter, be it a tarp or just like a pyramid or a teepee. And I've never had water running inside of my shelter, just due to the fact that you can kind of pick a decent spot, you know, where water doesn't pool up. And it seems like I've never been in a situation where the ground won't absorb it. I mean, even in wet areas, I was just up in British Columbia for 2 weeks on a canoe trip and it poured on us a ton.
Yeah.
A bunch, since I was with my family, but I also spent some time in that new Stone Glacier Sky Air, and I did not have any issues with water running inside of the shelter. It ran off the walls away and it just perked into the ground well enough that it wouldn't come in. Have you had any issues of that nature?
No, I haven't. I think it's all about where you pitch that thing. And I mean, it's almost just along the lines, really, with kind of common sense. Like, I mean, you wouldn't pitch your, in a low spot or something, you wouldn't want to pitch your floored shelter there either. So I think it's just about picking a good spot. But there was a bunch of snow and it, even that snow melt off last year in September on my elk hunt, when that stuff melted, it was kind of running around, but it wasn't, yeah, it just soaked it up well, I guess. It didn't, I've never had an issue. Like, it's never really been, even when I was looking into floorless shelters, that wasn't really never a consideration for me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is, with a lot of these shelters on the market, you can get a separate like bathtub floor to pitch inside of them. Even down to like that Black Diamond Megalite, you know, you can get a little bathtub floor that you can clip in the corners, which kind of keeps everything kind of contained, and it keeps dirt from kind of, you know, blowing in. And I probably wouldn't help with rodents getting in, but if you're really concerned about water, then I would say grab one just in case you need it in, you know, certain conditions.
Yeah, what's a company that would make a bathtub floor for kind of everything?
I know Seek Outside, they have a few nests, they call them nests, that you can pitch inside those floorless shelters. I used one in British Columbia a couple of weeks ago. It was actually a nice, well-made bathtub floor with a mesh sewn to it. So it was kind of like a bug mesh plus a bathtub floor. And up there in the summer, there we did have insect issues as far as like mosquitoes and whatnot. So that was nice to keep them out. The Stone Glacier, that tarp that I'm using, it has a little bathtub floor addition with mesh sewn to it as well. And let's see, I don't know, does Kefaru, do they make something for their shelters? I really haven't used a whole lot of their floorless shelters.
No, they don't. I'm pretty sure that they don't. I think people have been using those nests and just putting them in their Kefarus.
Okay. Yeah. And I know there's some smaller, like kind of one man type of sewing outfits that'll make stuff custom. Maybe it's Bear Paw Designs. I think he might will sew stuff up for other shelters if you request it.
Yeah. You could almost probably just ask, you know, on the Rockslide forum, ask, and there will be somebody that has found a way. Found a company or found a person that can make one up for you.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if Mount Laurel Designs makes one or not. It seems to me that they do, but I don't quote, I mean, check into it because they might not, but I've got a Black Diamond bathtub floor that I've used with that Megalite, and it will fit in a in the shelter that I was using for Mount Laurel Designs. It's not a perfect fit, but it has like kind of elastic cords on the corners that you can just stretch out and hook over the stakes on the outside of the shelter. And it definitely gives you a little bit of a floor in there. It kind of keeps things a little cleaner if you're worried about rolling around in the dirt. But I really prefer to just go floorless if at all possible.
Yeah. When's a time that you would go with a floor? Maybe bugs aside, when would you go with a floor?
If I'm going to have a big string of wet weather in the forecast, I'll bring a floor. Or potentially a bunch of snow on the ground. It's nice to have a floor. But for the most part, I just prefer floorless. You can run a stove. I mean, you can't run a stove on top of a floor in some of those shelters. So like that Cimarron, I run a little collapsible stove. They're medium-sized stove, and there's just too much heat generated from those wood stoves to run on top of a floor. I guess you could run a half of a floor, half of a nest. I think they make one of those as well. But I just prefer not having a floor because you don't have to keep the interior of your shelter clean because it's just dirt or grass or whatever you pitch on, you know. And I'll throw a small little ground sheet out to throw my bag on, or sometimes I just stuff my sleeping system into a little bivy sack, a real tiny, lightweight, fairly breathable bivy sack, but it keeps everything kind of together, compact, dry, clean, and I can zip it up if I'm gone during the day. I can keep mice or insects out of my sleep system. But so I just, you know, the only time I'd really run a floor is if it's really wet and you're in really brushy country and you're going to pitch that thing over the top of brush a lot, you know, wet, brushy ground. A floor would come in handy.
Mm-hmm. When I got that Kefaru Mega Tarp, one of the first things I noticed, like when I got it pitched up, and it was actually in the high country and I pitched it, I was like, for how much room is in those things, for how much they weigh, like that with the stove, that Mega Tarp was going to weigh like about the same as my Hilleberg tent was going to weigh, but so much more room, like so much more room. It's really, it's super nice after you, I don't know, and you spend the first couple nights in it, and any kind of a fear, I guess, if that, I mean, it is a fear, I guess. I almost feel like when I'm in a floored tent, I feel like I have more security, and it's a very false sense of security. But you know, I felt that before, but after you spend like a night or two in a floorless, that, you know, you just feel the same. I like having all the walls, and like the, if you're going to have an annex, I like running an annex instead of having the, like the front open. I think that's why I haven't pitched them high off the ground yet. Is because
right,
just that little bit of like a secure feeling, I guess.
Well, and when you pitch them close to the ground too, they feel a little bit warmer too. I mean, they don't let that cooler air blow through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it feels more like a regular tent when they're pitched close to the ground like that. But yeah, there's a learning curve to them for sure. And, you know, floorless pyramids or teepees or some of the more shaped tarps, there's a learning curve using those. And then I would say using other tarps, like just regular, like canary cut kind of square tarps, using those and relying on those, that's another level yet again that you kind of have to adjust to and practice with them. Just so you're familiar with how to pitch them, and just being comfortable with their use. I mean, I'd say they're kind of an advanced shelter.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd agree.
They pay off, you know, in weight savings for sure.
Yeah, weight savings, and then being able to have that stove in there is just, oh dang. Start when you get into late season, or I even started bringing mine with me in like mid-September, especially if the weather didn't look like it was really going to be that good, especially if there was a chance of snow. I took that stove with me, and man, after being able to come in and then start that stove, it totally changes your attitude for one. And then you can just dry everything out and it's nice. And you just, it's almost like a reset. It's awesome to have that stove.
Yes, I totally agree. I was blown away the first time I was exposed to a little wood burning stove in one of those shelters. It was early September, actually. So, I mean, they, like you said, you can use them as soon as it starts getting cold and wet. It's a great time to throw a stove in there if you can. And, you know, if it looks like the forecast, it's needed. But my buddy and I, Jared Lampton, he's a rock slide forum member. He and I were on a early September elk hunt in Montana, and it just poured on us, and we got pretty wet hiking in. Just even in this country here, if it stops raining, you're still going to get soaked because you're walking through waist-high brush all day. And he brought his Seek Outside little bug out with an annex, and he had a little homemade stove, which I'm pretty sure he got the instructions off a rock slide out of the forum somewhere. And he fired that thing up, and I was an absolute believer from then on. It was amazing. So I've used them. Well, last year I used one in Utah on a late season rifle hunt, and it was the coldest morning that I spent out. It was 3 degrees when I woke up in the morning, and but that little stove saved my sanity, because I was just camping in a little single walled pyramid shelter. And if I didn't have a wood stove in there, it would have been a whole different hunt. My mental game would have been shot, and it would have been difficult to stick it out, I think.
Yeah. I think one little misconception with those stoves too is they're so lightweight, but they're not really meant to hold fire like overnight, like some of your wall tent stoves. They're short burn. Is that that my Kafaru one is anyways, but is kind of all of them like that?
The ones I've been around and used, yeah, they're all that way. You have to feed them constantly to keep some heat in them. They won't hold. I mean, they'll hold some small coals, and they might hold some coals for an hour or two once you get them really cranking and you have really good wood. But yeah, it's pretty much in an hour or two, they're pretty much done giving out any heat. So even though they do heat up the interior, it's great for cooking and hanging out and playing a game of Farkle or whatever at night. But as soon as it goes out, you better have a sleep system that's rated for the conditions that you're in.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, 1 pound, 9 ounces is what that 18 inch cylinder stove from Kafaru that I run is. And you could even get a little bit lighter, really not much. I mean, a few ounces if you go with the 12 inch, but I mean, 1 pound, 9 ounces for like a heat source like that is just, I just can't get over it. It's like something to look forward to at the end of the day.
Oh yeah, it is. It's awesome. And you know, and I've set them up on snowy ground, you know, with a couple inches of snow, you know, you kick the snow out of the way, pitch your shelter, but there's still a good inch or two of compacted snow on the ground, and fired up a stove over the course of like a week's long hunt, the ground will be dry in the shelter, I've noticed, if you don't move it and you kind of use it as a base camp. You can actually dry the ground out around you if you run that thing enough at night.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, they're awesome. I was just gonna say they're a great addition to the kind of hunting that a lot of the rock slide members like to do, you know.
Camping on that snow and running that stove, does it get slushy at all, or does it melt like into the ground from underneath the snow?
It just kind of melts and kind of perks into the ground. I'd imagine it would determine what kind of soil depend on what kind of soil you pitch it on. But a couple times I've done it, it's gotten a little mushy, but not terribly bad. And it will, you know, it'll kind of dry out in the course of the day when you're not in there. And it eventually just the ground will dry out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll throw a piece of Tyvek down to throw my sleep system on to, just to kind of keep it a little cleaner in case it does get a little squishy in there.
Gotcha.
But floral shelters with a wood stove, they're awesome, especially into the late season. But early season, I think a lot of people are asking questions or interested in the more trim versions of the tarps, like, you know, the tarp type of shelters. What kind of tarp systems have you run, Jordan?
Man, I've really only run the mega tarp, and then I do have the sheep tarp from Kefaru. I use that thing a lot for, like, we'll pitch it up to block the wind if we're glassing all day, or like block the sun from us if we're glassing. And then, but other than that, it's just really the mega tarp. I also have the sawtooth, but that's kind of more of that pyramid type floralist shelter. But yeah, basically just that mega tarp, kind of an A-frame type tarp.
Yeah, I have one of the Sitka's new flash shelters. Mm-hmm. They came out with a couple different, like just two different sizes, but they're kind of the same shape. They're kind of that, they're a square type of tarp, but they've got that catenary cut to it. So they're kind of, they got a little curve to the sides. So they pitch a little tighter than if it was just a regular square tarp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, that's a great tarp to throw up for shelter from blowing wind, blowing snow, for glassing and whatnot. But, it has little stake pockets, kind of, or I guess not really stake pockets in it. They're like little pockets for like trekking poles if you want to pitch them.
Uh-huh.
So you can pitch it in a couple different ways, lean-to style or A-frame or whatever. But it's a really well thought out tarp. I like it.
Yeah. Is that the 10x12?
I have the 10x12. Yeah. I think they make an 8x10 as well. Yep. Yeah, the 10x12 is like, it's got to be right around a pound and a half or so, right in there.
Yeah,
looks, that's not exact, but it's right there.
Yeah,
in 20 some ounces, I think. I can't remember the exact specs. I think it's about 25 ounces.
Actually. Yeah, yep. The 10x12 is 25.3 ounces with the cord, it says on Sitka's website.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and the cord, it comes with 6 pieces of cord attached to it, and it has a lot of cord. When I unrolled mine for the first time, I couldn't believe how much cord was in it. So you can really stretch that thing out if need be. And of course you can add more, and it's got a lot of extra guy outs as well to customize your pitch however you want. But it's a really nicely made tarp, and it's got really nice fabric. It's a little, probably it's on the heavier side probably as far as like lightweight tarps go, but
mm-hmm.
25 ounces. If you can use it as a shelter and kind of just like a windbreak at times, it's pretty versatile. You're not going to hang out under that thing and sleep there in a snowstorm, even though it's possible in an emergency situation. But, yeah, it's a decent tarp for sure.
Yeah, I've used my little tarp. Man, we were in Wyoming in October doing a rifle elk hunt, and we were sitting on this ridge, and like some rain and sleeting snow, and just the wind was like howling. And we set that thing up, and no doubt it let us stay there longer, and like two, three hours longer than we normally probably would have. We would have had to get down off that glassing point if we didn't have that. And I totally give it to that tarp that we stayed there that long, because we definitely wouldn't have been able to. We would have had to leave, at least get down into the trees.
Yeah. Yeah. It, just having a windbreak is just, it's amazing what it'll do for you. If you can hang out a little bit longer, it'll pay off at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about real quick on the floralist kind of pyramid style shootout that you did. Can you just quick kind of quickly go over those ones and just kind of what you liked and what you didn't like and which one you kind of would choose in the end?
Oh, man.
It's heavy.
You know, yeah, it is. And I haven't read that in quite a while, but I would say, they all had really nice features. Some had better features than others, depending on what you're into and what you liked. So the Black Diamond, I like the fact that it's relatively inexpensive and you can get into that style of shelter pretty cheaply. And if you don't like it, you're not out of a ton of money. And you can also, like I said, you could add a floor to that as well. And, but you know, the stitching's not the greatest and you can tell it, there's not a lot of, extra details put into that one. It's breathability wise, the vent it's okay, but not the greatest. And it's not as packable as some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. The Kefaru Tut, I like the heavy duty zipper on the side of that bugger. I like the zipper location. It kind of comes down on a corner, not on the side. So it kind of comes down on a natural seam. So getting in and out of that shelter is pretty nice. And I also like the fact that it had really steep sidewalls on it. It pitched really steep. So it was a little on the smaller size in the test group that I had, but it had a lot of usable room just because of those steep sidewalls. The stove jack on that. The stove jack wasn't the greatest thought out design. They might have changed it the last couple years. I don't know. It seemed like it was like to seal up the stove hole. It was just a piece of fabric that was Velcroed over the stove jack hole. It wasn't it wasn't like a layered piece of fabric where water would run over the hole. If you got a big downpour, water would eventually leak through that piece of Velcro strip and then down into the stove hole. Okay. So it needed to be more shingle designed. So water would run down it and then over the next shingle below it. That was one of the drawbacks I saw with that. And their other stove jacks on all their other shelters are built that way. I just seems like this was a more of a quick design and it just didn't, maybe just got missed in the design process. And maybe, like I said, they might have, rectified that in the latest design. But I used it in some pretty wet situations and it did take a while for the water to come through. But once it did, it was pretty obvious where it was coming from.
Gotcha.
The mountain laurel tent, I really like that. The fabric on it was high quality Sil nylon. It seemed to be the hold tension in the fabric the best when it got wet. It didn't wet out as much as the other stuff did. It had a ton of guy out points around the panels. It had some pretty nice line locks on the corner, so you could actually pitch it pretty tall and get a lot of ventilation if need be, or you could pitch it tight to the ground if you wanted a more sealed environment inside. The zipper on it, it was on the small side. It seemed kind of lightweight, but it was kind of a water-resistant design, and I believe it was only a one-way zipper, so you could only zip it up to open it and down to close it. You couldn't vent it at the top from the other side, from the top side. Mm-hmm. You couldn't pull that down a little bit to give you some extra ventilation. The vent system on that tent worked fairly well, especially if you pitched it a little higher off the ground, so you had a little airflow, and it only had one door. So I know the Tut had one door, but I like the placement of that door a little better. The mountain laurel design had one door, and it's on the face of a wall And I mean, it's fine. But once you use two doors in one of those shelters, it's like, man, it's tough to go back to just a one door design, which the Seek Outside Cimarron has doors. So it, the Seek Outside has a door on each side. It has a really nice, effective stove jack in it. And it has two doors, like I said. They're pretty heavy duty zippers, and they're two way zippers. So you can unzip the tops and kind of spread them open with a little, some people use a stick. I use a little tiny, I don't know, 5-inch cut chunk of arrow shaft with a knock on each end. And just stick it on the zippers to kind of pry it open.
Okay.
To get a little extra ventilation. Yeah. Learned that little tip from a rock slide reader somewhere. The place is full of all sorts of good stuff.
Oh, man.
What else about the Cimarron? Oh, the Cimarron has, it's not, the walls aren't as steep, so there's a little less usable space in there. But it's big enough. There's plenty of space for sure, especially if it's two people. I've had, there's lots of room for two people, three people. There's great. Last year in Utah, I slept three people with a stove and some gear. Two guys in there with gear and a stove and a big wood supply, and it still feels like a palace in there. So, yeah, the fabric, I would say it was on par with about everything else as far as like how much it stretches or loses its tension once it gets wet. But it's still definitely waterproof, water resistant, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll handle some pretty big downpours. Actually, when I was up in British Columbia, I was using it one night, and it rained on us the hardest I probably ever had rain come down on me when I'm camping. And like, and it was all night long, and I was wondering when the water was going to start dripping inside, but it did really well. It stayed dry inside, so I was impressed. So it's good fabric. Yeah. So those are the main pyramid style floorless shelters I'm used to using. I'm more familiar with. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch on the market. Like I said, Kafaro has some teepees that I've never used, and they make them in all sorts of sizes. You know, they also make they make a paratarp, and you just mentioned a couple others that you're used to using. So there's a ton of stuff out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of stuff to kind of suit your, I mean, everybody has a little bit, you know, different flavor that they like. So I think there's one out there to pretty much suit everyone. A couple of things I wanted to hit on real quick. One of them, the first one anyways, or I guess the second one is kind of how they handle snow load. But first off, I want another thing about floorless that people talk about a lot is condensation. Can we just talk about condensation real quick? I think a lot of it has to do with kind of, again, where you pitch it. If it's there's a lot of grass on the ground that kind of gathers dew, I guess you're going to have some condensation, but there should be some venting that's going to help with that, correct?
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely will get condensation. Even if you use I've noticed even if you use a bathtub floor in them, you'll get a little condensation. But yeah, if you pitch it over wet ground or wet grass, you're going to have some more than inside of a floored shelter, like a regular tarp. But there's a lot of condensation in a regular tent too, on the mm-hmm. inside of the fly. It just doesn't hit the inside of the inner tent. Dealing with condensation in a floorless shelter is one, you can, if you use a wood stove, that will take a lot of the condensation out of there. If you fire that up, it will dry out the inside of your tent fairly well. You can pitch it so it vents a little bit and pitch it a little higher off the ground. That helps a little bit. You can open up some extra ventilation. That's why I like those double zippers on that Cimarron, because you can back them off the top and it gives you extra ventilation out the roof. And sometimes you're just gonna have to deal with it too. It just happens. And one thing that I bring with me is a little tiny sponge. If you just bring a little sponge, it only weighs, you know, half an ounce or an ounce, and you can kind of sponge up some of that, the heavy duty, you know, where it's more concentrated, or you don't want it to drip down during the day on some of your stuff, you can sponge that up real quick. Learned that little tip from Stephen Drake. He's got a lot of experience in the backcountry, and he's run into some condensation, even on, you know, regular tents. So it's a good way to soak up some of that condensation. But yeah, you can get rid of a lot of it by venting it properly, pitching it a little higher.
Yeah, good to know. I haven't run into condensation where it's really dripped on my face yet. But typically I'm on really short, like super short grass, you know, just a lot of rocks. So that's right. Probably why.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever had it. I guess I've had a little bit of spray, like, you know, you get condensation in there during the middle of the night, and then a little breeze picks up in the day or early morning, and it'll kind of like rustle the fabric. It'll just kind of just barely, like, lightly mist some of your gear inside.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a possibility, but it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had really that much trouble with it. But the other thing is snow load. You know, how do those floorless shelters handle snow load when typically, you know, all they have is one or maybe two trekking poles propping them up?
Yeah. That dictates, I guess, what pole you use dictates kind of how much snow that thing can handle. If you're pitching it with two trekking poles strapped together, which I've done before, it's not going to hold up under a whole lot of a snow loader. Or even if you put a stick in there for your center pole, it's not going to be as rigid as a heavy duty, thick carbon fiber pole. Or aluminum, like the tut that I used with that Kafaru tut, that pole was like super rigid aluminum, full on aluminum. And that thing, you'd have a hard time bending it. The fabric would rip out probably before that pole gave way. The Seek Outside Cimarron, the pole I have, is their carbon fiber pole. It's super heavy duty. The Mountain Laurel Designs pole that I had was definitely thinner, more flexible. It wouldn't hold up to heavy snow loads like those other two would. But yeah, it's kind of dependent on your center pole and how reinforced the very tip of that teepee is, or your pyramid. Most of them have a pretty well-designed cone where the pole sits in, and everything's sewn fairly well. So they'll handle snow. I mean, that being said, it will build up on the lower sides of your walls, which will affect your breathability, because that's a lot of your air, your fresh air is coming in under the edges, the cracks. So once snow starts building up around that, you're going to get more condensation inside. But as far as handling the snow loads, if it's collapsing your shelter, it's time to go.
Yeah. I agree with that. I had two snows. Well, one was on the Mega Tarp last year in September, and then one was on the Sawtooth. That one on the Sawtooth was like a lot of snow and a lot of really wet, heavy snow, and I almost didn't even know it had snowed outside until, you know, the sides of the walls were a little bit, you know, bowed in because there's obviously sticky snow on them. But from the inside out, I just hit it with my hand and it just, you know, popped all the snow off. And
yeah,
I really didn't have any troubles with it, but that was quite a bit of really wet, heavy snow that was stuck to that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see, some designs will hold up way better than others. When you start getting into the minimalist shelter stuff, you know, those trekking pole pitched tarps that are kind of open on one side, or they're just pitched with the trekking pole on both ends, they're probably not going to hold up to snow quite as well as some of the more robust designs. I know that that Stone Glacier Sky Air that I'm using, I don't think I'd want to be in a big snowstorm with that thing. It's great for early season, and it's not designed for that kind of stuff anyway. I mean, they've got other stuff for that kind of conditions, but you never know when you're going to run into it and when those storms will blow in. They'll catch you by surprise sometimes, but yeah, the pyramids will definitely handle snow more than a regular square tarp or a shaped tarp, it seems like.
Yeah, so more of those minimalist shelters that you're using, just like that Stone Glacier. Do you use a bivy under it, or do you just sleep with your with your regular sleeping pad and sleeping bag without a bivy? Is there a time that you would use a bivy, I guess?
If I'm using a minimalist tarp, I almost always bring a bivy with me. Just because the way they pitch, they generally just pitch a little higher off the ground, and you might get a little sideways moisture coming in and just kind of misting your stuff. So it's just nice to have a little extra insurance. If it's summertime and I know the weather's going to be decent, I'll bring a little ground sheet. That Stone Glacier Sky Air has a little ground sheet that clips into it. And it's actually a really nice ground sheet. It's waterproof and it kind of keeps moisture off your gear if the ground's wet. And it's kind of shaped and cut to the same size as the shelter. And it's got these little black dots in there that are kind of sticky to kind of keep you from rolling off the ground sheet. But typically if I'm using like that Sitka Flash shelter, I've got a Jimmy Tarps Granite Mountain. And if I'm using that, I'll throw in my bivy sack. And I've got it's like this little Sil Nylon. It's like some of the old Sil Nylon stuff, but it's made by Titanium Goat. And I don't remember the model it was, but they only made it for like a year or two. And it's super breathable, but it keeps the mist off. Like if it was a light rain, I've been out in it just that in a light rain, and it keeps stuff off of my bag, keeps things fairly dry, but it breathes. I've never had condensation inside of that bivy bag. But like I said earlier, it keeps everything compact and tight and in one place, and it keeps me from rolling off my pad and keeps my bag from getting in dirt. So I do like the, and it weighs like 3 ounces. It just rolls up to nothing. So it's worth bringing in my mind. If it weighed any more than that, I might question it. I'd probably just bring a piece of Tyvek or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I use for just floorless, is just a piece of Tyvek. And when you first get it, it's like really, it's loud. But if you just roll it up and keep working with it, the noise goes out of it. Mine did, at least. I know people throw them like in the dryer too, I've heard.
I've heard that exact same thing, yeah. I've heard people like customizing their Tyvek too by like squirting little strips of silicone on them to give them some tackiness. Just like some sil net or something. Yeah, a little tiny strip of sil net every so often across it, and it kind of gives a little tackiness. But yeah, I've heard the same thing. People trying to soften them up and make them more quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool, man. We're rolling up on 45 minutes. I think we covered this pretty well. Gave some good options and kind of, compared the floor to the floorless. My biggest advice to people is if you kind of want to try floorless, but you're just afraid of the bugs or whatever, I would just go for it. And you'll get over the initial little fear pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I would say, think about where you're going to use it most of the time. And, if there's stuff there that you're just scared to death of, maybe floorless isn't your thing. But, if it's something that you can handle or it might not be a big deal, I'd say they're worth it. I mean, I think they're great. I prefer floorless over floored 9 times out of 10 for most of the hunting I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then especially just as we said before, when you roll into later season having that stove, oh dang, like, and for just a little over a pound more of weight to have all that heat is just, you know, it's overused, but it's a game changer.
It really is. I totally agree. I think I've used that exact same term or description when I first started using it. And people also need to think about, like, when they're using a wood stove, they're using it later in the season when the nights are longest during the hunting season. And you're going to be spending a lot of time in your tent. So why not, you know, stay in a warm tent if you can. And, just have camp in comfort and, dry stuff out. And yeah, it's not a big issue adding that extra little bit of weight with a wood stove.
No, not at all. Not at all. So you have, when are you going to come out with the, that Stone Glacier tarp review?
I'll probably have it out. I'm hoping by like mid October, late October. I still want to use it under a few more conditions. I want to use it into September, at least mid September, late September on some of my hunts. So I want to get it out in some other more, I guess, less desirable conditions and see what the limitations are before I write a real like legit review on it. But in the meantime, people can jump on the Rockslide forums and find the thread that's, I'm going to start it here in the next day or two on this shelter. So they can jump on and kind of read some of the stuff I've kind of experienced with it, and they can add their thoughts. They can ask questions. And if they have any ideas on where they want to see it tested, I can potentially help out with that. But in the meantime, just check out the forums.
Yeah, perfect. I'll link to all that in the description or down in the show notes for sure. And I'll link to a couple of the other ones that we talked about as well, like that the Pyramid Floralist Shelter review, kind of head to head that you did with a few different of those tarps. And then we'll just everybody head over to the Rockslide forum and check that stuff out, and rockslide.com, and check out all the reviews that Josh has done. And yeah, we'll have to catch up with you after season and kind of see how all that stuff worked out for you.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
Perfect. Thanks, Josh.